where we'll be tonight. Genesis 29. Last couple of weeks, we've been working through chapters 27 and 28 of Genesis. We've been looking at each one of those individuals that we see in those chapters. We talked about Isaac, and we looked at some things we learned about his life as he grew older and as he neared the point of death, as he was trying to make arrangements for the future. That was something his father did, right? Abraham. As he was nearing death, he made arrangements for the future. There was a big difference in those two, in the plans that they made, though. Abraham worked toward God's plan. Isaac worked toward Isaac's plan. And so even as we grow older, even as we think we're growing, not we think, even as we're growing in our wisdom, we eventually need to recognize that our wisdom is still not as great and as high as God's wisdom. And so we need to keep that in mind, just like Isaac needed to keep in mind as well. But so we looked at Isaac, we looked at Rebekah. We saw her as an eavesdropper, as someone who it seems like she was not willing to go to her husband with concerns, but try to work around his plan. So his example as the head of the house somewhat rubbed off on her, didn't it? As she snuck around to try to get her plan to take place. Now, her plan was more in line with God's plan, right? In wanting the blessing to go to Jacob. But it wasn't God's plan. That wasn't her motivation. Her motivation was selfish. It was her plan. Then we talked about Esau, and we talked about Jacob and the conflict between them. We talked about the deceit that Jacob, he pulled a fast one on his mom, on his dad with the help of his mom. And so and that caused even more conflict in the home. And where we picked up in chapter 28, Jacob's on the run, right? He's been dismissed from the home to save his life and for him also to find a wife. And on somewhere along the journey, he stops for a night's rest. He uses a stone for his pillow, and he has a dream. And in that dream, he sees a ladder or stairway. And at the top of that ladder, there's angels ascending, descending. And what's the purpose of that dream? What was the first response of Jacob? The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. Now, we spent a good amount of time, I think, talking about that. I guess I should have told a joke again this week to warm you up a little bit, right? I didn't think of that. The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And so we see a recognition of God, a respect for God as he turns that stone that he had used for a pillow into a memorial to God. And then he makes a vow to God. We talked about that word if and how, where's Miss Betty? What kind of word is it? Subjunctive. It's a subjunctive word and perhaps would be better translated since. As Jacob says in verse 20, since God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will get and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. And so he makes that vow, and then we come into chapter 29, and he's continuing on his journey. Any comments on chapter 28 before we move on in to 29 tonight?
Isaac, that that promise that was given to Abraham, and so that promise to Isaac and then to Jacob, that promise that he would be a great nation.
That's right, and that's important in that dream, isn't it? That vision that Jacob had, that promise is renewed. Repeated to Jacob. That line is continuing to the Christ through the seed of Abraham.
You know, right there, the last thing talking about is about giving the camp to God. And that's I guess that was a standard thing to do whenever in that period of time to give something to God because of an awesome thing that happened. I guess it was. Yeah, because, I mean, you hardly ever hear of it except right here in Melchizedek, you know. Sure. Have we heard any other place?
Not until it became law, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Starting in chapter 29 and really going on through chapter 31, but I wanted to save 31 for itself because there's 55 verses in chapter 31. But we start to see some growth in Jacob. Sure, he falls back into some old patterns here and there, but we start to see some growth, as some spiritual growth, as he begins to straighten some things out, going from being so dishonest to being more of what you consider to be an honest person. We see him going from being someone who would hide in the shadows and not really take a stand for himself to someone who's being a little more bold, even right from the get-go in chapter 29. So maybe it just took him getting out of his father's house to open him up a little bit to being a little more bold. But what we see in these chapters are some very important decisions that Jacob has to make. Some very important life-changing, life-altering decisions. And most of these decisions are decisions that we've made as well. The decision of marriage. The decision of starting a family. The decision of striking out on your own and starting a career, making something for yourself and not just staying with your family. Most of us, we've made at least one of those decisions in our life. And so as we read these chapters, as we study these chapters, let's understand that yes, this is a story about Jacob and the decisions he made, the things he did, and the impact that it had on his life, but these we can plug ourselves into these things as well. And we can consider ourselves and how we might react in these situations, how we perhaps did react in some of these situations. So when we start in to chapter 29, we find the meeting between Jacob and the love of his life, Rebekah. So let's start reading in verse 1. And Jacob went on his journey. He came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, "My brothers, Where did you come from? He said, they said, we are from Haran. Have we heard of that place before? Where have we heard of Haran before? Okay, that's where Abram went from Ur. So, do you think Jacob had a sense of relief? He was going in the right direction. He'd gotten to where he was supposed to go, right? He said to them, verse 5, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? They said, we know him. He said to them, is it well with him? They said, it is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, the day, it is still high day. It's not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go, pasture them. Why was Jacob, perhaps, all of a sudden in a hurry for all these men to leave this place? He saw Rachel. Now, we don't know that for sure, but I think that's a pretty good speculation to say that he saw her coming and he wanted to meet her one-on-one at the first meeting. But they said, until all the flocks gather together and the stone is rolled away from the mouth of the well, then we water the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, a few things here. We don't know how many shepherds there are gathered around this well. More than one. And apparently, they can't move the rock off the well. Now, maybe they're just trying to rest a little bit. Maybe they're just being lazy for a little while. Maybe it was too heavy for them to move together. But now, Jacob's got a little bit of motivation to get them out of there, doesn't he? And so he can go by himself. And he can move that rock that apparently these shepherds had not been able to move. Now, there's a phrase repeated a few times here in this verse, in verse 10. Laban, his mother's brother. Is that a key phrase? Why that distinction? Maybe Laban was a common name. And maybe, we don't know that either, but we at least are able to recognize here that this is a woman that is eligible for him to marry. He had to marry a relative, didn't he? That was his order as he was sent away from home. He had to marry from his kinsman. And so this is an eligible woman for him. The daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. Verse 10, then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. Why crying? Let's start there. Why crying? Well, we're starting with why crying. Did he pull a muscle? I think it's because he's excited he's found his family. Here he has been, someone who stayed at home, right? He liked to stay at home with his mother. And now all of a sudden he's out traveling. Now he's gotten where he's supposed to be. He doesn't have to travel anymore. Why kiss her, Leora? There was... And that's I read that there was a custom for family members to greet each other in that way. And so it wasn't him taking advantage of anything. It wasn't him stepping out of line. It was most likely simply a greeting between two cousins.
And when he did it because of they were kinfolk. Wanted to show her that we're kin.
Right. She didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But he knew who she was because they said, "This is Laban's daughter coming with Laban's sheep." Right. Right. Sure. Jacob told Rachel, verse 12, he was her father's kinsman, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told his father. Verse 13, as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house, and Jacob told Laban all these things. Now, it was, again, a family embrace, a family kiss. It doesn't say Jacob kissed Laban, though. It does. It says Laban kissed Jacob. But I'm sure it was reciprocated. Now, this meeting between Jacob and Rebekah, just a coincidence? It just so happened he showed up right before she's coming to the well to water her sheep. Right, right. They met by the water. Or, well, they didn't meet by the water, but Abraham's servant met his wife by the water. I think so, too. We see the providence of God in the meeting between Jacob and Rachel. And if I accidentally call Rachel Rebekah, please forgive me. I probably have already. I don't mean to. What are all these things? In verse 13, Jacob told Laban all these things. Okay? Okay? So I think here is where we get a glimpse of him being a little more honest. He had to at least tell Laban, this is why I'm here. And he had to tell Laban, this is what God has told me. Wouldn't you want to share, if you had that dream, wouldn't you want to share that? So he tells him all these things. God told him, yes, that's God telling him of the promise. Certainly, I believe, would have been something included in all these things.
Somebody in his kin, in his family.
Right.
And he happened to like.
He happened to like one of them, right? Another coincidence, right?
Jacob didn't know Laban very well at that point, but he got to know him.
Yes, he did. He spent a lot of time with Laban. Now, we know a little bit about Laban at this point, right? Laban was blessed in the giving of his daughter, or his sister rather. He was blessed in Rebekah going with Abraham's servant. So perhaps if this was a cartoon, we'd see dollar signs for eyes on Laban as Jacob shows up at his house. And especially if Jacob tells him about the blessing. Jacob tells him about God being with him, God blessing him. And I believe he did, because later on we'll find Laban saying, I know that I'm blessed because God is with you. How important is it as we search for a mate? How important is that initial meeting? Is it important to show off your strength, Brandon? Did that help? Brandon can move the rock. I couldn't move the rock. Jacob knew right away this was who he was going to be with. And he stayed there a month with Laban, according to verse 14. And Laban said to Jacob in verse 15, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. You feel that way, men, about your wife? Good job, Bill. Austin. When's the wedding? June 8th. When did you propose? Come on.
About a year ago, June 10th.
June 10th. It seemed like just a few days, right? See? Another good answer. When we're working for someone or something that we love, time flies when we're having fun, right? Even if it's work, time just goes by fast because we know what the end is. We know what the goal is. And I know we're talking some about marriage here, but I want to turn this a little bit different direction for just a few minutes. Sometimes life gets hard, doesn't it? Sometimes life is a struggle. Sometimes life just seems like work. But what makes the time go by? We know the end, don't we? We know the goal. We know what we're working toward. And if we keep that goal in sight, if we keep heaven in our sights, then our struggles here, our time here, will seem like just a little while. Paul said, I reckon... a good southern word from Paul, right? I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that waits for us. And I think we could all say amen to that. Leah's eyes were weak. What's that mean? There's all sorts of theories as to what it means. I read this today, actually. I don't even remember. I didn't write down where I found it because it was so... I'd never seen this before, heard this before, about the meaning of the name Rachel and the meaning of the name Leah. Maybe you saw this too. Rachel means you, E-W-E-U. Like a lamb. Leah means wild cow. What was Laban thinking when he named his daughters? Yes, ma'am.
Muscles that didn't keep them together. And nowadays when somebody's born like that, they do muscle surgery and work with them. So she had right. that. That's what she lived with.
Right. And I've read that, cross-eyed, lazy eye. Another thing I read today said that her eyes didn't have that brightness that these beautiful people have, like Kimberly.
Oh.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder if her eyes were weak or his eyes were weak.
Whatever it is, he was more attracted to Rachel than he was to Leah. Later, well, we'll talk about that later on. But there's this agreement, right? It's simple. You work 7 years, you marry this daughter. And so he works that 7 years. He's happy to work that 7 years. He loves working that 7 years because he knows he's going to marry the love of his life. Then, 21, Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. I may go into her, for my time is completed. I'm done. Now, we're getting married." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. In the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban has an excuse, a reason. It's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one. That's the traditional honeymoon week for this one. "And we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." How hard do you think Laban looked for a husband for Leah during that first 7 years? I don't imagine that he did. He knew where the money was coming from. He knew where the blessings were coming from. He wanted to make sure that he had Jacob locked in. But what does Jacob do? Does he protest? He says, what have you done to me? And then he gets the answer. And he says, and Laban says, "You work another 7 years, and then you can have Rachel." What does he do? He says, "It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm not working 14 years for her. She's not worth that to me." No, it doesn't say that. What's it say? Jacob did so. At the end of that 7 years.
"This daughter's bridal week, and then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." So it, I mean, I'm reading it that he got Rachel, and then he worked another 7 years.
Then he worked 7 years. So he got...
He married two wives.
It was in arrears the first time,
right,
and then in advance
right.
the second time.
Hey, James.
Yes.
I think it's interesting, though, that there was only 1 week of celebration. Two wives in 1 week. And what happened to the custom? Why didn't they continue another week of...
It doesn't say. Maybe they did. So... We see an agreement. We see Laban not hold up his end of the agreement. And then through deception, tricks Jacob into marrying his older daughter. We don't know this either, so let's speculate for a few minutes. How involved was Leah in this deception? Right. Right.
My question is, could Jacob not see the night he got married?
Well, Jacob, they had a big feast. And in those days, those feasts would have included a little drinking.
Usually the brides in that culture wore veils. I mean, really long draped down, so you couldn't really tell who it was under that veil.
Right.
Who you were marrying.
And likely their wedding ceremonies didn't look like our wedding ceremonies. And the reality is when the engagement is made, they're as good as married. And so this working 7 years was just to get to the point to consummate the marriage. So it's not like they stood up there and pledged their love to each other and exchanged vows, and then he lifted the veil and was like, oh, no. This is... Yes.
Well, I mean, you see several examples of where someone, I'm trying to remember the... I'll kind of draw a blank on the name. The lady that came from the Moabite lady that uncovered the feet of the dude.
Ruth.
Yeah, here we go. Thank you. Sorry, Boaz and Ruth. You know, it's the middle of the night. It's dark, and he was at least asked the question. You know, who is this that's doing this? Mm-hmm. And then he was okay with the whole process, but he at least waited to make sure it was his turn, or he was okay to do that. But I mean, there's more than one example of a nighttime in a tent, not being able to tell, and someone being tricked.
Right. Well, you know, the one thing I mentioned last week about this, and in the realm of marriage, when is it most important to know the person that you're marrying? Before you get married, it's most if you wait until after you're married to figure out this is who this person really is, then you're asking for problems. Make sure that the person you're marrying is the person you think you're married. Now, Jacob had no reason to suspect any different, right? And maybe we get in a situation where we don't have any reason to suspect any different. And we find out sometime down the road that this person is not what they represented themselves to be. But it's good to spend some time. He spent 7 years, and that wasn't long enough.
You know, this must be a family problem because Jacob did the same thing to his dad. And now Rachel's dad's doing it to him.
That's right.
It's kind of a bait and switch. I'm not the real son, and this is not the real daughter.
Both pull the same sort of tricks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's...
They're all kinfolk. It must be a family tradition.
Bud said they're all a bunch of deceivers. So we all have something in common sometimes with them, don't we? Because I think we can all have a tendency to represent ourselves differently than what is the truth at times.
I was going to say Rachel had to be in on it too. She had to be. They must have told her because they had already told her she was going to be his, you know, they were going to be married. So she had to be in on the whole thing in the first place because she would have, or just.
I think she was a blonde.
Bam.
Right. whether she knew or not, yeah. whether she tried to stand up yeah. to him or not, we don't know. But there is no doubt that Leah knew. And Leah was a willing party to this deception. Right. She was. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. Loved Rachel more than Leah.
So like he didn't read the terms and conditions of the contract.
We talked about this in regards to children, right? Having favorite children. It's a little bit of a foreign concept to us to have a favorite spouse. Or it ought to be a foreign concept to us to have a favorite spouse. No. I don't see any way you can have multiple spouses and love them all the same. And certainly in this case, Jacob didn't work 7 years for Leah. He worked 14 years for Rachel. And he just got Leah thrown in there, along with two other women that Laban gave to his daughters as servants or handmaidens. Starting in verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, question. What's hate mean right there? Okay, not loved. Obviously, there was some affection there, right? But it was not the same love that he had for Rachel. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Reuben. Reuben means what? See, a son. And in the Hebrew, that the when you say Reuben, it sounds like the word that means God has seen my affliction. So that's the origin of the name Reuben. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. So Leah has some faith, right? She has some knowledge, some respect, some appreciation for God, because she recognizes that it's his hand on this. Next week, we'll pick up there and go through chapter 30. So 29 and 30 again for next week. Thanks for your comments and your attention.